is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for listening, for being tuned in all over North America. My people ready for the weekend. My people leaving the money. My people getting to the money. My people relaxing. My people hanging out. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, on a street called Peachtree. Thank you so much to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcha, for holding things down on the boards. We've had a full show already. We talked about Brian Robinson, his trade from the Washington Commanders to the San Francisco 49ers. In 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Ben Standig, Last Man Standig, as well as 980 Radio, covering all things Commanders in D.C. We'll get Ben's thoughts on what we can expect from the Commanders this season. Hey, thank you so much to Pete Futek for joining us, collegefootballnews.com. We talked about some of the preseason games that we can expect to see. We talked about some of these college matchups. Jerry Jones is still being a jerk, being antagonistic to both Michael Parsons and his agent. What else is new? We discussed the New York Giants and their hilarious quarterback room led by Jameis Winston. And we have so much more to get into. Next hour, we'll take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history. Oh, so much more to do. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Yeah, not a difficult guy to find at all. Man, we're getting ready for this game right now. Well, I'm getting ready for it. It's the preseason, but you know, I can have anticipation. We got Minnesota getting ready to take on Tennessee. We discussed earlier in the show the possibility, that Adam Thielen could be moving on, or back, I should say, from the Carolina Panthers to the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings dealing with suspensions and injuries in a wide receiver room, so we just have to see. But what I'm looking forward to tonight is Cam Ward, my new favorite NFL player that I have never seen play outside of Miami. We know earlier this week he was in that tiff with Jeff Simmons, or last week. Said he celebrated in his face, and Simmons did not appreciate that. Decided to shove him in his face out the damn way. Tennessee Titans are going to be good. Everything I hear from Cam Ward, even when he opens up his mouth about leadership, he's like, yeah, when I got to the team, I wanted to know every person who worked in the building, from the janitor to the lunch folks. He says it's just a matter of respect. I haven't heard a bad word about this guy yet. Looking forward to seeing what he does in the regular season. I'm not expecting a Jaden Daniels type rookie year, but it's going to be a lot of fun seeing him play. That's what Cam Ward had to say about playing in the preseason, just going out here trying to get better.
Pace, at a faster pace. Every day I get a chance to get on the field. Then really just getting in and out of huddle and, you know, just continue to motivate my guys, continue to try to put points on the board every time we get opportunity, you know, try to get another preseason win.
Yeah, you know, and it's all quarterback speak. You know, he's not saying anything groundbreaking. You know, Botcher, we talked about Russell Wilson never coming across as authentic. Everything is always seemingly too perfect and manicured. And then you get a guy like Cam Ward who's equally as about football, but he just seems like a real normal guy.
I also think it's his first year, too, so he hasn't really been seasoned in the media, to say the least. I feel like when the year goes on, he'll start to realize that you can't say everything you want to, and he'll have to just, you know, give basic vanilla responses to these guys.
But I think he is giving. I don't think he's giving too much. My point is that there's an authenticity about him, wanting everything to be about football. When it comes to Russell Wilson, like we discussed earlier, it's not authentic. I mean, we've had guys who've been in the league forever. I know he's retired now, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, everybody gets to a point where they're weathered by the media. Patrick Mahomes has been around a long time. does he not come across like a normal? Yeah, he's wealthy, but does he not come across as a normal human being?
No, he's normal because he acts normal and answers normal questions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With Cam Ward, he seems normal. He seems comfortable in his skin. You know, anybody who says, I want to know the names of everybody in the building, it's a matter of respect for me to know who they are. I know everything that I know. I know everything, but I know enough about how your brain works because you got a lot of people who don't want to give people the time of day. They think they're better than other people. I'm the quarterback. I'm the star. Eventually, whenever Cam Ward gets paid, if he's sticking around, you can imagine the quarterback salaries are probably going to be somewhere near $70 million a year. When it's his time to get paid, that's the type of dude I want leading my team. We hear the cliche stories. Oh, first guy in, the last guy out. Take away this guy's key card. Oh, he shows up. Oh, they have to tell him to stop working out. You're working hard. You're doing too much. We hear all the stories. But when he opens up his mouth and he speaks, it appears that a lot of it matches up, which I appreciate. He is easy to root for. And let's see what Cam Ward does this upcoming season. I have no idea. He's going to have his ups. He's going to have his downs. But I think he's going to be better than Will Levis. Got Will Levis coming in, and the whole big to-do about him is putting mayonnaise on everything. Okay, now he's a backup, rehabbing his busted-up shoulder, knowing that he's not going to have a job in Tennessee. Let's see what happens with this dude, Cam Ward. Speaking of Cam Ward, on the opposite end of the field, they're not starting. JJ's not playing, Bacha.
Who's
not
that? Playing this week.
Oh,
what channel? NFL Network.
Brosmer. Say again, Bacha.
What, I don't even have it on. I have the Eagles on CBS over here in New York.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, local station. Yeah, I'm watching CBS here. We have it, and then we also got the Falcons playing as well. They're on the NFL Network.
Yeah, so Sam Howell is not even playing either for the Vikings. Wow. So they went straight to the third strings.
Yeah, I don't know none of these guys. Justin Jefferson standing around. Man, can you wear any more chains? I guess not. Wear all your chains. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Todd is here from Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Todd?
Hey, JR. What's happening, brother?
Happy Friday to you. How are you celebrating on your Friday?
Yes, sir. Just hanging out, chilling out, watching Phillies baseball.
Okay, good deal. What's up?
Yeah, buddy. All right, curious to know, just want an update on Trey Henderson, Cincinnati Bengals defensive lineman. What is the update, JR?
There is no update. Trey Hendrickson apparently... Apparently, the only squabble right now is as recently as early this week. I think that's the last thing I've heard, was that the only agreement or disagreement is on the amount of guaranteed money that the Bengals are willing to put out there. So it's not a matter of the length of the contract, how much money, it's how much of that contract is guaranteed.
Okay.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, we're now, what, 2 weeks away from the start of the season? So I don't see him being traded. I know Brian Robinson got moved today from Washington to the 49ers, but I think we're too late in the game for a dude making, between $35 and $40 million to be traded. I think that would have happened by now.
Yeah, it's a little late to be inking things. You're right, JR. Okay, buddy, take care.
All right, thank you. Shout-outs to Todd for calling from Maryland. Yeah, Bacha, you think he's getting moved? He's sticking around.
He's staying around. It's too late into the season for a team to trade for a star and have them learn the new playbook, get accustomed to the speed and the rotations. It's way too late.
Yeah, and I think even so, you take a look at his contract and what he wants and his age. Even if he doesn't get all he wants in guaranteed money, I still think he'll sign his name to the contract. The closer that they get to starting the season, he's just going to put his name down on it and take the cash. It's really that simple. I don't see a space where Trey Hendrickson just moves on for what? I mean, it sounds like they're getting close. And to be honest, I know we just made this joke in the last break about the Cincinnati Bengals being cheap, using construction paper as to put together the playbook. They're going to Kinko's to print up playbooks instead of using tablets. They've been known for being cheap. I am shocked. I'm shocked that they're even close to a deal. They're paying Joe Burrow. They got Ja'Marr Chase. They went ahead and kept T. Higgins. I didn't think that was going to happen. I was like, damn, they're going to keep one of the wide receivers and draft another one. And I'm like, well, this certainly means that Trey Hendrickson is gone. I thought that months and months and months and months ago, he's still on the team. He's not going anywhere. We'll see what happens. 888-710-4ISN. This game is taking place in Nashville. Probably future home of a Major League Baseball franchise. And so, Bacha, what? Cam Ward is going to play, what do you think here?
One drive.
One drive and sit down?
I would assume so. If it's a good drive, that's perfect. If it's a meh drive, that's also fine. The only way he'd play more than one series if it's like atrocious three and out.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to preseason. Remember they used to do this for four damn games? Ugh, no thanks. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, we got these preseason games on this evening. We told you about Chicago and Kansas City. They'll get going in another 20 minutes. And then, you know, we talked about the New York Giants taking on New England. We got into that more specifically from the New York Giants side of things. But Mike Vrabel, not happy at all. Jalen Polk is now out. Okay, he has an injury. Mike Vrabel wasn't happy with the fact that he wasn't the guy who announced this. Mike Vrabel, never one to hold his tongue, never short on words, is going to give you a piece of his mind. This is probably the reason that he's no longer the coach of the Tennessee Titans. He was talking to the reporters, and he was asked about Polk, and he started talking about snitches in the organization. He's like, we got a rat in here telling the team's business. Listen to what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Mike, there was a report today that Jalen Polk will have to have season-ending shoulder surgery. Can you add anything to that?
No. I don't know, other than I'd like to find out where some of these come from. You know, some of these rats around here, so we'll figure that out.
Damn. He's not going to fire nobody, Botch. Nobody's getting fired.
No, nobody's going to get fired out of this. It's just...
warning shot.
Even still, though... I remember the Aaron Rodgers saga, the rats and the snitches and the leaks coming from that.
Wait. Oh, you mean when Aaron Rodgers was saying...
like there's people leaking things?
Yes. But that's a player. That's not the coach, right? It's different.
We don't even remember who it was. We don't know if it was the backup quarterback, the third string that shouldn't be in the league.
When you have, I don't know, 200 people in football operations on a team, 150, 200 people, I don't know. Everything from the trainers to the coaches and what have you and the play. When you got that many people, is it possible to keep anything quiet?
Hire trustworthy people or just track everything they're doing.
But you can't. That many people, you never will. Never.
It's not realistic.
And so it's one thing. I like how he put it out there. We got a rat. We're going to find out who it is. What is he going to do? Individually call his coaching staff and training staff into the room and just start interrogating them? I don't think so. Sounds like a complete waste of time to me. But when you're Mike Vrabel, I think you start putting people on notice by using comments. At least you make people, make them think. Give them second thoughts. Hey, if you're going to talk to the media or communicate with members of the media, You might want to think that one over, because if I should find out, you're getting a boot. You're getting canned. Ain't nobody getting fired here, but he's certainly going to make everybody think about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we discussed Brian Robinson being moved from Washington to the 49ers. Washington, the Commanders, they have a surplus of running backs. Robinson was no longer needed, as he's expected to command a new contract as soon as the end of this season. And so we're going to have a conversation in 5 minutes with Ben Standing, Last Man Standing show. Also, you can catch him on 980 in the DMV DC area. We'll get his thoughts on what we can expect from the Commanders this season, and especially what are we going to see from Jaden Daniels in year number two. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Ben Standing on the other side of the break to talk Commanders on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're getting closer to the start of the NFL regular season. We still have moves that are being made as teams are getting ready to cut players. We got teams that are trading players as they look to fortify their rosters moving into the regular season. The Washington Commanders were one step away from the Super Bowl with a rookie QB last season, and they're looking to stay in that same spot. Is it likely? I don't know about that. The Commanders have already moved on from Brian Robinson. They got Dan Quinn here, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, to talk about this team, what we can expect when Terry McLaurin is getting paid. Joining us right now is Ben Standing, who covers this team for 980 Radio in the D.C. area, as well as the Last Man Standing Substack and podcast. Ben, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. I guess the big news for the Commanders right now, Brian Robinson was expendable given the emergence of, well, they already had Austin Ekeler there. He's pretty old in that regard. But having Kroski Merritt there as well, what are your thoughts on what they got in return and moving on from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were prepared to release him if need be. So getting anything for it was fine. And for a team that only had five draft picks next year, getting an extra pick, even if it's late in day three, you know, good addition to their haul. I mean, look, I think Brian Robinson is a fine running back, but he's a little bit one-dimensional in the sense that he's not a big factor in the passing game. And I think that was part of the issue. This team was looking for more explosive plays out of the backfield. That's also not something that Robinson does. And they wanted to have, I think, guys who are out there that gives you more run pass option to, you know, to disguise for defenses, things like that. So Robinson, I mean, the fact that Kroski Merritt showed well this summer certainly helped. The more options, if they were to make a move, Chris Rodriguez, who had a 40-yard run on his first carry in the Bengals Monday night game, was another guy that they can use. He gives you a little bit of what Brett Robinson does as well with the power. You mentioned Austin Ekeler. I mean, he was pretty effective last year in small doses. So they don't have an obvious one guy, but I think they've got a committee that they feel pretty good about.
And what do you think that balance is going to look like, knowing that Ekeler is older? We don't know what Kroski Merritt is going to do throughout the course of a year. Same thing with Chris Rodriguez. What is that balance going to look like, or is it going to be game to game?
Well, this is all obviously happening so suddenly and so late into training camp and the preseason that it's almost a little hard to know. There's not a lot of clues, I guess I would say. My guess would be, early on, it's a true committee between Ekeler, Rodriguez, and Kroski Merritt. You also have Jeremy McNichols, who was the third running back last year. He's still around. But like I said, I think Ekeler, he's the safe bet. He's the guy you have on the field, certainly like late in both halves, you know, when you're potentially in a little hurry-up situation if you're trailing or maybe to help salt things away. And then, you know, Rodriguez is the hammer. Kroski Merritt's the guy that has the one-cut home run potential. So I think it's probably going to depend a little bit on matchup, a little bit on game circumstance with how they do that. I think over time, Kroski Merritt's the one who has the bigger ceiling of the group, and so he could be potentially move into some more of something closer to a lead back role. But, you know, they also have Deebo Samuel, who's going to get 3 to 5 touches a game out of the backfield based on his career. So they have, and then also you've got a quarterback who led the team in rushing last year, you know, and is obviously, you know, one of the better mobile quarterbacks in the league. So the run game in total, they have pieces to make that work, but exactly how it's going to fall out, I hate to say, we'll have to see, but I think we're going to have to wait and see a little bit.
Commanders reporter Ben Standing is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. You mentioned Deebo Samuel. There seems, even when he was back with the 49ers, it was always a conversation about his size, his shape, his fitness. What does he look like so far here in this preseason portion?
Yeah, he looks good. He looks like a guy that's focused. Obviously, he gets traded in the offseason. He's in the last year of his contract. So there's a lot in play for him. He and Jaden Daniels, I would say, not exaggerating, almost every single practice make one or two big plays down the field, connecting. And, you know, he has looked really good. You know, I think they're going to use him still in the sort of Deebo Samuel ways here, there, and everywhere. You know, he's not a traditional receiver. Just find creative ways to get him the ball. In the last preseason game, the very first play of the game was an end around with Deebo going for 19 yards. So he's looked good. Now, it's all weird because Terry McLaurin has not been out there at all this year, obviously because of his contract situation. So we don't know how it's going to look with the two of them together. And I don't think Deebo is like a traditional one should McLaurin's situation continue to be a problem. But yeah, he's looked very good so far. So the thing with him is, you know, can he stay healthy? I think that's always a concern, the way he plays. He's a very physical player, runs hard, plays hard, and you know, that can get him into some trouble, but it's also how he makes plays, especially yards after the catch.
Ben, do you think Terry McLaurin is going to be out there with a new contract for week one?
I mean, I'm assuming that he's going to be out there, but I've been assuming a lot of things for the last few weeks that haven't happened. I would have thought this would have gotten done, you know, by the time training camp started. It doesn't seem like this should be that much of a gap in contract, you know, in contract numbers between the two sides. But obviously, here we are. You know, look, he's under contract for one more year. If nothing happens, he'd have to decide, does he want to, you know, forego $1 million a week, basically, to if he's going to continue to hold out. That's a lot of money. Not to mention, you know, what is it helping him per se? On the other hand, does he really want to take the contract that they're offering if he doesn't think it's a fair value for him? So maybe he plays out the final year of his contract. I still am assuming that they eventually get some kind of a deal done. But like I said, this has gone on way longer than I would have thought. So it's, you know, I'd be lying to say I feel good one way or the other. But my sense is that there's still a gap between the two sides. You just have to think, you know, logic eventually here shows up and they figure something out.
Well, Ben, we've done a lot of talking about the offense. What about the defense? We see some additions here to the team. You got Von Miller in. We know his job is just to go out there on situations and chase around the QB. If the offense carried them last year, what can we expect from the defense this year with Washington?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. All things being equal, if we assume that Terry McLaurin is there and they've got their pieces, you know, this was a group that averaged they were fifth last year in scoring 20.5 points a game. They carried this team. The defense, especially against the run, wasn't so hot. They were 30th against the run. Saquon Barkley tortured them all year. I know he did that to a lot of teams, but in particular to Washington. So they went out and added a lot of size up front. Javon Kinlaw was their big signing. They had Dietrich Wise, another huge guy who's a noted, like, sort of run defender, solid piece. They have Deron Payne in the middle, and they had second-round pick Johnny Newton last year. He missed pretty much all the offseason a year ago because of some foot issues, so he was fine, but, you know, not great. Now he's healthy, and he's looked pretty good so far. So I think they're hoping that, you know, it's sort of a quantity over quality situation up front. And the secondary is miles better than it was a year ago. The cornerback room, you know, Marshon Lattimore struggled last year after they made the trade deadline deal with the Saints, but largely because of injuries, we believe. He's been healthy now. They had second-rounder corner Trey Amos this year. He's had a great summer, and they just have a lot more depth at that spot compared to where they were a year ago. So there's reason to be optimistic. I think there's still depth questions kind of all over the place, but, you know, if the cornerbacks can allow defensive coordinator Joe Witt to send more pressure up front, that's what he's hoping for, then that's how they offset not having sort of like one or two obvious pass rush experts up front. They also still have Bobby Wagner in the middle of the defense. They added Von Miller as a sort of specialist pass rusher. So we'll see. Like I said, they don't have the obvious Pro Bowler up front, but they've got a lot of guys who've had success in this league, and they're hoping that, again, that quantity over quality aspect can kind of come into play.
What is Bobby Wagner now, about 90 years old?
You tell him that. I'm not going to say that, but yeah, he's been up there for sure. And you know, I know he's been written off, you know, and based on the age and experience and all that. I think this is what, his 13th year. I get it. But look, he's one of those guys where, yeah, the speed isn't there compared to what it maybe was, but the instincts allow him to just be where he needs to be seemingly at all times. There was a play, I know they did the joint practice in New England, and there was a play where he deflected a pass and it went for an interception. And when we asked him afterwards, you know, what happened there, he just very casually was like, well, I could see the pass was going to go here. So I just went there and knocked the ball and there you go. I think the hope is that with the defensive line, as I said, being bigger guys, hopefully that helps and then frees up him to use those instincts with cleaner running lanes than he saw a year ago. So he's been, you know, he's still good. And, you know, hopefully the big man up front can help get him through another year at a pretty good level.
Yeah, what a novel concept, getting older and using your brain. I think more people can take heed. Commanders reporter Ben Standing is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. I mean, just looking at the team, just flat period all around the board, there was no expectation for them to get as close to the Super Bowl as they did last year. What's the expectation from the fan base? What's the overall vibe as to what they can look forward to? They just like, hey, let's go back to the playoffs and see what happens? What is the thoughts here?
Well, you know, there's the delusionals who think, hey, it made the NFC Championship game. The one more step, let's go. And I think the reality is when you have Jaden Daniels, they're in the mix because he looked that special last year. I don't think it was a fluke. I'm not expecting a sophomore slump. He has the goods as long as, you know, you have enough help around him, just like you would for any quarterback. So I think that keeps them in play. But, you know, their schedule was very difficult this year. They're playing the NFC North and the AFC West combined. There were six playoff teams in those divisions a year ago, not to mention you have the Philadelphia Eagles within the division. Dallas and the Giants, you know, are going to be formidable to varying degrees. And they also, I don't want to say they got lucky, but a lot of things went their way. They won late in the year. They won five games in a row. Every game was decided on the last play from scrimmage. Now they were the team that made the plays and it went their way. And, you know, that's something they work on, end of game situations, end of half situations. But, you know, it's hard to believe that you're going to get every break kind of going your way. They didn't play a lot of good quarterbacks last year. This year they face a gauntlet of them. So I think from like a schedule and perspective and just sort of odds of things evening and out, a 12-win season in the NFC Championship game feels perhaps a little bit rich, but like you said, nobody thought they were going to get more than six or seven wins a year ago, and look what they did. And as long as you have Daniels, you've got a puncher's chance. So, yeah, I think as long as they get McLaurin in, avoid injuries, just like you would for any team, I think they certainly still have a shot to make the playoffs. And then, you know, they won two road games last year with a rookie quarterback, so I'm not going to rule them out if they can get there.
Yeah, they got the QB. Let's see what they can do otherwise. Hey, Ben, last question for you. Does it look like this stadium inside D.C. proper is going to move forward? Can we anticipate that?
Well, I mean, I think the answer is yes. I mean, the hiccup has been, or the wonder had been, would the D.C. City Council approve a new stadium in their budget? They already did. They already voted on it. There's still another sort of perfunctory vote that has to happen in September. I guess my only wonder, though, is, you know, without getting political here, you know, the president of the United States is sending in National Guard troops to D.C. and he's threatening to, you know, to federalize the city and all these types of things. And I don't know enough to know what that means. But could that mean some stopping of the stadium? I mean, I don't think it's inconceivable if in fact, the federal government takes control. The federal government was helpful in getting the whole stadium to this point because the site they're going to use is on federal land and so on and so on. But the wild card element right now that's going on in the White House makes it maybe a little uncertain, but in terms of the team and the city, it's ready to go. It's just now hopefully nothing else gets in the way.
Yeah. And listen, Ben, I don't want to drive out to FedEx or whatever the heck they're calling it. Okay. I don't want to do that drive anymore. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, well, I think you speak for all of us. It would be great to have, I mean, and also just like, you know, to have a really cool stadium with a dome, like, you know, I think it would just be a cool atmosphere to be in FedEx, you know, FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium. Now it's fine. It's generic. It's a little bit older. It's not so great. let's get new and different, because, you know, the whole thing here is new and different following the ownership change a year ago and plus Jaden Daniels. So get a stadium to match the vibe would be great.
Yeah, let's see if they can keep on with the good vibes for this upcoming season. Hey, Ben, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all your work?
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm on writing on Substack these days, lastmanstanding.substack.com. You can also find a podcast with the same name. And yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting time so far, and excited to get going for the season.
It's going to be an interesting ride. Hey, Ben, take it easy. Catch you down the line, okay?
Awesome. Thanks so much.
No doubt about it. Shout outs and thank you to Ben Standig for joining us. Covers all things Washington Commanders. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Having Jaden Daniels on your team makes things fun. Helps liven things up, doesn't it? Well, when we come back on the other side of the break, I'm going to tell you about the NFL. Looks like they're trying to take the fun out of the NFL again. I will explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and it's time for a news flash with Gordon Damer.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, that would mean I'm JR. Thank you so much to Ben Standig for joining us from the Last Man Standig Show. He covers all things Commanders. And here I got something for you. You ready? It's a NASCAR race preview. Okay, it's sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. This weekend is a big one. Finale, NASCAR regular season. Daytona International Speedway. It's going down tomorrow, the Cup Series. It takes center stage with the Coke Zero 400. It goes down at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch it on NBC. Make sure you go ahead and check it out. Make sure you get it in. This NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hard-working pros they serve. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, in 15 minutes, when we get to the top of the hour, give you a little bit of an update as to some of the things that we've seen so far tonight in NFL preseason football. The Tennessee Titans, for instance, with Cam Ward on the field, currently lead the Minnesota Vikings 7-3. From what I saw in the studio here, Cam Ward was throwing a couple of darts around out there. I mean, you can see the guy's arm has a different type of zip to it when he's delivering the rock. And so we'll give you an update at the top of the hour. This is going to be the last time that we see guys like Cam Ward out here. We got the Kansas City Chiefs in action against the Bears. We're expecting to see all of the Kansas City Chiefs starters go out there and get some burn in. So we'll get into that at the top of the hour. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Before we get there, I do want to take note. Bring your awareness to something the NFL is trying to crack down on. Celebrations. Well, we've seen this time and time again. The NFL giving away penalties for excessive celebrating and taunting. And I mean, we've graduated from yelling in the guy's face to gun gestures. We got Drake London pulling out guns, imaginary guns last year. We got people doing gang signs and gang waves. And so apparently the NFL is like, okay, it's enough of that. We got to cut it out. Okay. The vice president of all player personnel used to play in the league, Troy Vincent, he talked about what he's seen so far and that the NFL is once again getting ready to clamp down and try to eliminate some of these ridiculous celebrations. Listen.
Things that we've seen, there's just no place in the game for it. There's no place in the game to be standing over your opponent. There's no place in the game to have violent gestures. That's not the game of football. We just have to play by the rules. Respect your opponent, respect your teammates, and play the game in between the whistles.
Now, I'm fine with all the dancing. I'm cool. You get a touchdown. You could dance. I'm fine. You get into the end zone. You know, if the guy happens to be there in the vicinity, you can do your thing. You don't got to taunt him, get in his face. You know, they're trying to cut down on the violence. I get it. The NFL as a game, as a sport, is violent enough. You don't want to encourage it when the whistle is blown. You want to tamper it down. And so I understand all of that. I think at times the NFL has gone overboard with punishments on dancing and celebrating. But I can wholeheartedly agree. We don't need the gun gestures. We don't need the violence. We don't need people bringing out silencers after they score a touchdown. I don't, Baccia, have these guys played too much Call of Duty? Are there silencers and machine guns and bazookas in Call of Duty? I don't know.
Oh, there is. It's still there. It's everything you can imagine is in Call of Duty.
Okay. I have no, is it a military game? What's the point of Call of Duty?
Call of Duty is a military game. Depending on which one you get, it's different eras. So there's it's like modern, futuristic, throwback to like World War One.
What do
like
you
that.
Do? Do you pick the country? Are you automatically American? How does this work?
It depends. If you play multiplayer online, it kind of randomly gives you a country.
Wow.
And then the campaign usually follows American soldiers.
Okay. So there's certain countries that you obviously cannot play as, right?
Oh, no. They obviously don't. They don't name them.
Yes.
After. Yeah. No, they don't do that.
Okay.
That's Battlefield that names them.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, you're educating me. All right. Yeah. I'm like, man, there's certain countries in America that, I don't think you'd be allowed to play as. Okay. All right. What do you think about this? Like Drake London, for instance, we had a school shooting here in the suburbs of Atlanta. Drake London actually met up with the students, you know, after this horrific incident. And then a week later, he celebrates a touchdown and he's pulling out a gun, like a fake gun, obviously. He's celebrating with a fake gun. And at the end, of course, he's penalized. And at the end of the game, when it's his press conference, he's apologizing for it. He apologized for like 2 days. It's like, bruh, you over here glorifying weapons and weaponry. We just had a mass shooting at a school here. You actually met and visited with the kids and you're still doing a celebration? So obviously there's a disconnect in it. What do you think on the NFL trying to ban some of this?
What I feel is that there needs to be a feel of the celebration timing and just like the intention. I feel that sometimes like when people point for first down, they might make a certain hand pointing gesture that looks like a gun, but they don't mean it. If they're physically in the in the end zone celebrating with gun gestures, that's not cool. It's you have to walk a line in the NFL with celebrations where you're not doing it to be a fool. Like you just do it naturally, just be normal. And people go out of their way to make certain actions, and that's when it gets too far.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, guys pointing for a first down, whether it's fully extending their arm or their finger, I think most people get it. Okay, he's pointing down the field. But there's some blatant just movements of guys mimicking guns. Like, I'm reaching over my back, and I got two arms on my shoulder. I got the bazooka cannon on my shoulder. Like, what are we doing? And I get it. There's not a five-year-old, not in America, thank God. There ain't no five-year-olds running around with bazookas. But the thought and the idea is still pretty much the same. For all the casualties and lives that we've lost, I think there should be a little bit more consideration to, hey, there's a lot of people watching y'all play. This is the most popular sport in the United States of America. It's bringing in a lot of money. There's a lot of kids sitting on the couch, sitting on the floor next to their dads, their moms, their families, watching these games. And whether they realize it or not, like these are images that are going by. And I am certainly not going into the territory of, oh, well, I got to be a role model to you and your family. I'm not doing that. But I think it's just a little bit of respect just for people in the country, period. Like, that's it. Like, we don't need the gun gestures. I don't need the wide receiver, you know, humping the goalpost when he scores. I don't need him extending his hand and like he's waxing somebody's backside. Like, that's too much. You know, go ahead and dance. You know, go ahead and get five offensive linemen and do a quick jig and keep it moving. We don't need the guns. Okay, we don't. We don't. We don't need guns. I'm not a fan of the I like taunting. I do. Like, I'm not mad if Tyreek Hill wants to wave bye-bye to a guy. Like, I'm fine with that. But when the whistle is blown, dance, keep it moving. You know, I'm even cool with remember when Joe Horn pulled the phone from outside of the goalpost? Give me that. That's not disrespectful to anybody. And sure, the NFL doesn't want everybody doing it. That's why he's being punished. I like fun in the NFL. Sometimes the NFL can be the no fun league. But guns ain't nothing fun about that. And I'm glad the NFL is going to crack down on that. Good, as they should. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. You know, I got that. That's a question that I have. Do you agree with what the NFL is doing with the celebrations? Do you think the NFL has gone too far? Or do you think the NFL trying to get these guys to relax on the celebrations? Do you think it's fair? Is the NFL still the no fun league? I'll take your calls on the other side. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Is the NFL the no fun league? We'll get into that. We'll take a look at some of these preseason games. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.